My message today pertains to something that went on a couple of weeks ago. And so I titled the message, Look Up and Live. Well, maybe you can figure that out from what Janelle just read, but when I worked at Michael's, we had labels on our equipment right on the dash, right on the panel where they'd be in plain sight, and it said, Look Up and Live. Because we had excavators with long booms, cranes, and what we called side booms, which was a crane on this side and a counterweight because the pipe was heavy and it was cabled on this side, so you needed a counterweight for the side booms. And the side booms would be as long as 28 feet. So there was warning signs right on the control panel that said, Look up and live. Stickers. Maybe the kids like stickers. Well, that's where we found stickers, on the dash. Very appropriate reminder, because we all know what happened to Mike Siegel a couple of years ago when he was hurt with his dump truck and getting caught in the power lines above. So being aware of our surroundings is always very important. Looking forward, looking all around, I think of mothers. But also then looking upward. Upward. So this past May 14th, it was a Thursday, it was Ascension Day. I didn't want us to forget about that day. A notable day. Do you remember how many days past the resurrection that Ascension Day happened? It was 40 days. And then another 10 days. Pentecost. So how does this Ascension Day unfold in the scriptures, like it says in our passage today? So Jesus had been making certain important appearances to his important people over the past 40 days. Important meetings with his disciples and a new disciple to replace Judas, Matthias. And we remember the visit without Thomas when Jesus just appeared in the upper room, and then once again with Thomas, and how he restored Peter and how important that was. Peter, on you I'll build my church. And I remember the coals and the fishes and the bread, the fresh-baked bread on the seaside. And Jesus met with his disciples again and had breakfast with them by the water. And then even larger crowds, appearing up to 500 at one time. And he had a meet with his brother James. James had an important task with the Jews in Jerusalem. So today, now, we just take a walk. We take a walk with his followers. Can you imagine their mood? They're walking with Jesus again. Hey, this is more like it. This is the way it's supposed to be. They were joyful. Joyful to say the least. They were excited about what's ahead, what might unfold. Expectant, yes, expectant of a new kingdom. Perhaps now the Romans would go away. A new day. It reminds me that we can walk with Jesus every day. Will you walk with Jesus every day? It seems that the story starts, or their journey starts, from Bethany. Now, we've all heard of Bethany. That's where Lazarus and Mary and Martha were from. But what I didn't realize that Bethany was on the other side of the Kidron Valley. Jerusalem was on the west. The valley, the gorge, was in the middle. Bethany was on the east side, but lower and south of So that's where they leave from. So they have to travel along a path, I would imagine, ascent, kind of uphill. They were walking past the very spots they had spent time with Jesus in the garden, learning from him, resting with him, praying with him, even probably going past the place where he sweat great drops of blood, where he had been arrested. But I think it was a worship walk. I don't think them things got him down. I don't think those were in their fresh on their mind. This was a new day, you think? But as they continued upward to this higher ground, we find that the Mount of Olives was the high point. And it's said to be even higher than Jerusalem. Now we're north. We're a little north of Jerusalem, and we're higher. Want to put a picture up? And this happened so quickly. Jesus speaks. He blesses them, and he was taken up in a cloud that received him out of their sight. Remember how many times Jesus just vanished, passed through the wall, was gone, but not this time. No, they saw him ascend. The eyewitness accounts, maybe recorded for our good. With certainty, with clarity, so we can believe. It's thrilling, isn't it? It's thrilling. I'm sure they said their goodbyes as best they could, for as long as they could. I can see them even jumping. That's how I see it. Hands raised. And he ascended. And the clouds received him. I think he became like a shining light, and maybe the clouds received him just to protect their eyesight. A sad occasion? No, we don't read any of that, nothing of that sort, but rather a promise. Because now they notice the two men standing nearby in white apparel, saying, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven today." Wow. We have to be looking up and living life in fullness of that light. An expectant moment. We just sang "In Christ Alone." How fitting. Communion, in remembrance of me. Christ is the object of all our worship, the source of all our joy. He is the one who deserves all our obedience. He is the focus of all our praise. And we are accepted of him. These early disciples finally understood that. And yet we too today tremble at the thought that Jesus would accept us. Our worship and our joy and our obedience and our praise are pleasing to God. And not because of anything that we've done, but in light of his glorious work within us. It is only by his enabling that we can ask for unwavering faith and the ascended Son of God faith that moves us to worship him, to follow his example in all the ways that we think, we say, in all that we do, our daily chores, our routine duties. Are you finding it hard to worship? Do you know joy or to obey him today? We have to ask God to fix our eyes of faith on our risen, ascended, reigning Savior. Can you see the same Jesus that those disciples knew and saw? Then you too would be moved to worship. Worshipful joy. And that obedience will change from mere duty but into wonderful delight. Daily. He goes to prepare a place for us. Such a personal relationship is key with our God. It's like breathing. Breathing in prayer, then exhaling with a propelling of walk. No, it's not there. It's not totally there yet. It's not there with me. It wasn't there with my brother. He was on his way. Look up and live. Let's read a little further. Beyond just the earlier text, recorded now in Luke, not in Acts. In Luke it says that this same event and its aftermath, and they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen to that. I'm glad I came today. I'm glad you came today. We need reminders in remembrance of him. We can certainly be encouraged by these facts, but motivated, yes. We can't be complacent. We are in the midst of a change here. But we've been taught by Jesus. We've been taught by Mike Maddock. We've been taught by teachers in the past or parents, and even Eliot, the way he delivered his word. So now we can look ahead. I can look ahead. We all can look ahead with hope. Listening to these students, these retired pastors, as they give us their insights. Spurred on by the Holy Spirit and encouraged by to move in an upward direction, to walk in the light of his word. He has gone ahead to prepare a place for us. What a joy to know that one day we will rise like he. So we all have to ask ourselves, is Jesus your plan A? And if not, what's your plan B? Let's pray. Lord, to submit to your word is a challenge for us. But we know then too that you even strengthen us through your Spirit. Help us to walk in your light, to be like these disciples on that road, upward, to see something beyond their imagination. Lord, your love showers down us every day. Thank you for such beautiful summer days. And Lord, we just now anticipate communion. So Lord, bless us there too. In Christ, in him alone we pray. Amen.